Okay, we're on Daf Kuf Chaf Dalid. Okay, so we're talking about flaying the lamb, so to speak. Glustraton, the source of the thick end of a bolt. We learned in a Mishnah, we learned a Neger Shiesh Barosho Glustros, that when you have a bolt used in a door which has a thick end at the head of it, Rabbi Shua said you could drag it from the doorway and hang it in another doorway on Shabbos, but you can't move with your hands because it's Muktzah. Rabbi Tarfon said it's like all the other Kalim, and therefore can be used into a courtyard, moved into a courtyard. Next Mishnah says, Kola Kalim Nitalon Letzarech Shelo Tzarech. All Kalim can be moved for a specific purpose, and even not for a specific purpose. Shelo Letzarech. That's controversial. The Gemara Zeron Chemni says, only could be moved Letzarech. So what's Letzarech and Lo Letzarech? So Letzarech is for purposes, Davar Shemalakto Laheter. When it's an object whose primary function is for permissible use, then you can move it for Letzarech Gufo, for the object itself. If it's Shelo Letzarech, well, it depends. Davar shem lach delahet letzorach makomo, you can move it. Davar shem lach delis letzorach gufo, in. So a lot of the laws of muktzah are all summarized here. The concept of moving things mechamel itself, or moving to the sun, to the shade, when would that be permissible? What types of objects? Amud Beis talks about ein motzin et the cotton, that the lulav at the sefer Torah, which is Rabban Beis Hillel, allows you to. So Amr Dishmais Levit Shammai, Otsa Tiltul, who allows you? Tiltul Gufi, La Mishum Otsa. Isn't that the same thing? Isn't Tiltul the same thing as Otsa? Amr Vesar Le Dra Mar, Shalo Yigonev. It says that moving the Lachar, moving a host that it won't be stolen, that's an example of moving an object not for a specific purpose. And it's Usr. The Gemara says, however, the reason that's Usr is because it's so that it won't be stolen. However, for the purpose of utilizing the object itself, for the purpose of utilizing the place, it's going to be Mutter. Few background ideas here. You have a chatzar she'inim urevis. According to Torah law, a courtyard which has in its house is owned by different people. All the neighbors can transfer objects from their houses to the courtyard and into their other houses on Shabbos, even though each house is a separate rishus yachid. It's mutter to move objects from one rishus yachid to another. And that's also the case where several courtyards open on a dead end alley and when a city is completely walled. King Shlomo decreed that transferring objects from one rishus yachid to another is usur unless an erev chatzeris is created on Friday before Shabbos begins. And this is accomplished by all the neighbors collectively setting aside a loaf of bread in one common container in one of the houses of the courtyard or one of the courtyards of the alleyway. And that shows that all neighbors have an equal share in all the rishuyos. Hayachid, just as they have a share in the bread, they can be considered one rishus again. You have a concept of graf shel ri'i, which is the pan of refuse. Talked about that. Osov es b'no, we've talked about it. Forbidden to slaughter a cow and a female sheep or a female goat and their offspring on the same day. And certain times of the year, Chulin 83a says, it was assumed that someone who buys an animal buys it in order to slaughter it immediately, lose its meat. Therefore, the seller has to inform the buyer if he sold the animal's mother on that day, so the buyer will not transgress the prohibition of slaughtering the offspring and its child. You have the concept of nolad. Muktzah, the word muktzah means set aside, right? And it's used to describe items that are set aside, not for use. But nola, when an item did not exist in its present form during Bena Shmash, being Friday and Shabbos, but rather it was created or significantly changed on Shabbos, it belongs to the category of muktzah known as nolad. And kalim that broke on Shabbos did not exist in their present form before Shabbos, therefore they're considered nolad. Similarly, date pits from dates which were eaten on Shabbos are nolad, since they're part of a fruit when Shabbos entered and emerged as pits only on Shabbos. And moving these items prohibited, according to Rabbi Yehuda, since a person could not have had in mind to use them before Shabbos when they didn't yet exist. It is mutter, according to Rabbi Shimon, since he holds that an advance positive intention to use an item on Shabbos isn't necessary. The Gemara says that in the base of Migdash, small, smooth sticks were used to suspend the animal for the Korban Pesach while it was skinned. And the Gemara says that these sticks were not used on Shabbos. Rava says that even though the use of a klisha malachta leheter is mutter, these sticks were not permitted to be used because it was possible to skin the Korban without them. And two people could place their arms on each other's shoulders and hang the animal over their arms while they skin it. And the Gemara gives the same ruling for the sticks that separated the loaves of the lechem upon him from each other to allow air to circulate around them. Since it wasn't necessary to use these sticks, they can't be moved on Shabbos. Now, why should these items be prohibited to be moved? Simply because it was not necessary to use them. Since they are kalim that are used for mutter purposes, they should not be considered muktzah at all. So the Tosas HaRosh and the Rashba say that Rabbah here is consistent with his reasoning elsewhere. Rabbah holds that a kli shemalach de leheter may not be moved solely for the sake of protecting the kli. It can be moved only in order to use it or to use its place. Since it was possible to hang the animal in the arms of two people, and it was not necessary to use the sticks, using sticks would be akin to moving them mechamel itself, and therefore prohibited. The Rishonim quote a variant text of the Gemara where Rava made this statement. And that's even more difficult because Rava is the one who allows moving utensils or usage even mechamel itself. It's a kasha. Now, 124b, the Gemara cited the Mishnah in Beitza that said that one cannot use a piece of wood to support a door on Yontif. And the Gemara explains that Beisham Beis Hillel will argue whether or not the Rabbanan enacted decrees to forbid certain items, like firewood, from being moved in Yontif, lest one might move them on Shabbos. Beis Shammai says the Rabbanan did enact such decrees, and Beis Hillel says they did not. Now, does the Gemara's conclusion imply that the Mishnah in Beitza follows the opinion of Beis Shammai? So the Ritva and the Sheet Laran explain that the Mishnah in Beitza indeed expresses the opinion of Beis Shammai. Since the Mishnah there expresses the opinion of Beis Shammai, it would seem that the Halacha does not follow the ruling of the Mishnah there. But however, the Ritva explains the Halacha does follow the ruling of the Mishnah there because there's another Sugya in Beitza that gives a different reason for why one is prohibited to lean a pot on a piece of wood on Yontif. The Gemara says that since pieces of wood are designated to be used exclusively as fuel for fires, they are mukta and they can't be used for any other purpose. Now, according to that reason, the Mishnah in Beitza follows the opinion of Yehuda, who is machmer with regard to the laws of mukta. The Tosafot HaRosh explains that when the Gemara here says that this Mishnah expressed the opinion of Beit Shammai, it doesn't mean the above-mentioned Mishnah in Beitza. The Mishnah indeed follows Beis Hillel, and the reason why pieces of wood can't be used on Yontif is because pieces of wood are designated exclusively for lighting fires. And when the Gemara says that this Mishnah expresses the opinion of Beit Shammai, it's some of the Mishnah that the Gemara cites from Megillah, which says that only difference between Shabbos and Yontif is food preparation. The Gemara has a machlokas between three Amoraim with regard to the status of a broken piece of earthenware, cheres, in which the various domains on Shabbos. Everyone agrees that one could handle a cheres in a chutzar, but Shmuel says that it can be handled only in a chutzar, but not in a karmelis. Rav Nachman says that a cheres can be handled in a karmelis as well, but not a rishus yarabim. Rava allows one to handle a cheres in rishus yarabim. So what's the basis of their machlokas? Rashi says that Shmuel permits one to handle a cheres only in a chutzar because in a chutzar there are many kalim. A broken piece of earthenware can be used to serve as a cover for other kalim. In contrast, kalim are not usually found in a karmelis, and therefore a cheres in a karmelis has no use in his mukta. Rav Nachman holds that in a karmelis, a cheres is not mukta, even though there are no kalim in the karmelis. Nevertheless, the cheres can be used to cover spittle, and therefore it has a use and permitted to be handled. Shmuel does not consider such an uncommon and trivial use to be significant. Rava, who permits one to handle a cheres, seems to Rav hold that since a cheres in a chutzar has a normal use, covered for kalim, and therefore it retains its status as a usable utensil, you're allowed to handle a cheres even Rishus HaRabim. The fact that it can be used to wipe mud off one's shoes in Rishus HaRabim does not make it a usable utensil, because wiping off mud is done even without a stone or a piece of garbage which one intends to discard. Therefore, that usage does not serve the purpose of a kli.